November 4th, 2008, meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Let the record show that all board members are present with the exception of Bill Luffy. Are there any corrections or changes to the minutes of the last meeting? Lynn?
Yeah, a couple of them. On page 2 under the bookyard, the last paragraph on page 2, it's...
Turn on your microphone.
Sorry. On the last paragraph in page 2, it's something about some of the things that I said. The final sentence... She said it wasn't Sierra Club, but EcoSlow said they would follow the lead of the NEP and would be in favor of a boatyard even if the ESH was used. Noah Smuckler, that's correct. And then I think we need to add a final one. It was the Sierra Club Environmental Committee also voted a resolution in favor of the yard. That's it.
Okay, are there any other corrections? We have a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
I move we approve the minutes as corrected.
Moved by Ed, a second?
Second.
Second by Lynn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I guess we amend the roll call to show that all board members are present. At this point, the meeting is open to anyone in the audience who has anything to say that is not on the agenda for the evening. If you have something to say, would you please step forward, state your name, and your business.
It's not on the agenda.
My name's Ed Sylvester, commercial fisherman. I'm just wondering which one of you board members up there are representing the leaseholders? It's a question.
Yeah, I think that seat is the vacant seat.
Yeah, that's a vacant seat at this point.
That's a vacant seat, because why I'm asking is there's a few things going down on the lease, on some of the lease sites that our manager of the bay is don't seem to be taken into consideration and don't care to. And what it is the aquarium's lease site. There is a motel that wants to be built next to it. Well, they want to tear the dock down, and the pilings underneath are not on the property line. They are on the lease site of the lease that wants to take the pier down. And if they take that pier down, it's going to take the wharf of the aquarium down. And back there, there's pumps. And your neighbor's house falls in. The person that's moving the dirt is responsible. So I'm just letting it be known on the record of what's happening. And possibly someone out there in TV land might have a little better legality on this, because the city's putting themselves in a real tough spot, because them pilings were put in 1950-something before the city even thought of being a city. In fact, before a lot of us was almost born. This is all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment at this time? Yes.
My name's Dimitri Chiraki, and I'm a Cal Poly student, as addition to an employee of the Harvard Department. And I just wanted to make a brief announcement on the same topic. I made a presentation in April about wave energy, and I'm still studying that at Cal Poly. I'm going to be doing a thesis project this starting sometime this winter, and hopefully being finished next fall. And basically, my concept is to include a site assessment of Morro Bay to see, what kind of plant, what kind of system would work best here. And I wanted to ask you guys if you had anything that I could include in that report that would be beneficial to the city, and any input as to, what you guys could get out of that.
Well, I think, is it okay if I speak?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
I think you ought to put in your thesis about the traffic problems it's going to cause, about the fisheries area it's going to take.
Yep.
And how they got bigger waves off Diablo, and how we better serve Diablo than us. That's my opinion. But you ought to include those studies there, because it's going to be imperative that someone looks at it. And since you're doing the thesis, it might as well be you. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Gene?
Yeah, a couple of comments. Ed, do you know anywhere where in the process that project is, as far as the permit process?
Well, the Green Wave permit, I think,
go ahead, Dimitri.
Oh, is, I think, still pending. This would be separate entirely from that, whatever's been applied for, and it would just be an objective, scholarly report on how fit Morro Bay is for wave energy.
Okay.
So,
Dimitri, I'll ask you a question, then I'll ask Ed a question.
Oh, sorry.
Have you looked into the groundbreaking energy producing that they're doing at the University of Michigan?
No, I haven't.
Fantastic, interesting things they're doing. So you might look into that. They're using vortexes that would be created like with a fish, and they're using that for diaphragms on the seafloor. Very interesting.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, and the question to Ed is, do you know where in the permit process the motel is at?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of Dimitri? Dimitri, I'm better understanding now after your response to Gene what it is that you'll be doing. And so you're going to be doing a written thesis, a study, in other words, of the potential impact of wave energy operation out of Morro Bay, rather than testing any kind of a wave energy device, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There won't be any testing involved. Yeah.
Well,
I
think of the, as you probably know, because I've talked to you before, but we did, as a advisory board request of the city, we did a little subcommittee study of the Green Wave Energy's plan to put their operation out here.
Mm-hmm.
And we did request to the city council that they send a letter requesting a stakeholder role in that decision process. And as you just mentioned, there's been no further movement in that application process, I guess. So, and as far as Ed mentioned, he mentioned one, the impact on the fishing, and of course, there were a number of other things, which all of which don't come to mind to me right now. But I would be more than happy to list some of those that we talked about before, if for no other reason than to make sure that they're included in your study. So.
Yeah. Well, I can give you my email address after this, maybe, and you could pass me those notes.
That would be fine, yeah. And thank you very much.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Are there any other...
mile or 2 miles of the plant. And if they put it inside that two-mile radius in there, and there is a fishing zone in there that no one can be in there. I mean, this whole thing would be totally protected because nobody is supposed to be in there. And for a hazard to navigation, hey, the Coast Guard run me out of there. So I know that you're not supposed to be in there. So, okay, thank you.
Did they tell you you were a hazard?
They said what?
I'll just make one comment about that, and I appreciate your comment. That area has been brought up before as a more applicable place for the placement of Green Wave than where Green Wave Energy proposed to put it. Their proposal specifically is an area 7.5 miles long, 3.5 miles wide that extends from the south jetty to Point Bouchon. And it's that area that they've applied for ultimately a permit to put whatever it is they come up with Green Wave Energy devices. So that's one reason why we requested that the city become a stakeholder in this, because there is opinions among some of us that where they want to put it is not the best place, that there are other places to put it that are more applicable and less destructive to the business of the harbor here. So, but thank you for your comment. Any other members of the audience want to make comment on something that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on with the agenda then. Dimitri, you have a report from the forest for the lifeguard, or one of you anyway?
Both of them.
Both of you?
Both our head lifeguards, Dimitri Jiraki and Kale Moore. Thank you.
Okay. This year's beach lifeguard program safely accommodated a busy beach season, with a season beach usage estimated at nearly 81,000 people, a significant increase from last year's counts. 2007 season total was 90,000. Overall, the lifeguard staff performed very well and kept incidences down to a minimum. In addition to lifeguard supervisors Dimitri and myself, the Harbor Department hired 6 seasonal lifeguards for the summer. Lifeguard towers 1 and 2 were first opened Memorial Day weekend on May 24th and were open weekends only until the week of June 14th. The towers then remained open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. through Labor Day weekend on September 1st. Thereafter, the towers remained open for 2 additional weekends and were then closed for the season on September 14th. This amounted to a season total of 91 days. The lifeguard towers were removed from the beach on September 16th. During the summer, there were a total of 37 rescues. There's 24 in 2007, 18 of which occurred
in July.
26 of the 37 rescues occurred in rip currents, primarily in a single large rip that often runs along the jetty by the power plant outfall. In addition to rescues, Morro Bay lifeguards assisted to shore 18 tired swimmers and 4 surfers, performed a total of 780 preventative actions, and on July 2nd, helped a parent locate a missing child.
So in addition to the pretty busy summer we had on the sand, we also made good strides towards our USLA agency certification, which we're going through the process right now. Eric Andersby and worked with us to complete the application for that certification. And it's currently going through a regional, a state, and then a national approval. And I think now it's at the national level. So we should be hearing soon on the results of that. Next spring, we're going to be holding our first ever USLA Lifeguard Academy here in Morro Bay with Cayucas. We've been meeting, we had a meeting yesterday, and we've been developing the curriculum and the schedule. It's going to be a 40-hour course that's spread over 2 3-day weekends in the spring. and it's going to be taught by Morro Bay and SLO County Cayucas lifeguards, as well as the CDF Fire Department.
I'm sorry. All lifeguards that go to work here have to have that certification, right?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Gene?
Yeah, a couple of them. How are the towers and the equipment holding up?
Last year, I remodeled the floor in Lifeguard Tower 2 because due to dry rot, it was kind of falling apart. Tower 1 seems to be starting with the same problems this year. As far as truck and boards go, we're in pretty good shape. We can probably use a couple more rescue boards.
And then my other question, what do you think the benefit would be of having a throwing life ring down by the changing room for that outgoing current along there?
I think that would probably be a pretty good idea just for a quick response, mainly maybe in the wintertime months to have one hanging there as there is on the T-piers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I just want to extend our thanks and gratitude to you and the rest of your crew out there. I know you do a stupendous job and risk your own lives every time you have to go out there to rescue somebody that probably shouldn't have been risking theirs. So we thank you very much for all that you do and hope to see you back next year.
Thank you.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you. That brings us to item number 2 on the action items, the commercial fishing qualifications for 2008 calendar year. This is continued, an issue continued from last month's meeting, and I would like to ask the harbor director if you'd give us a little update on that issue.
Sure. Good evening, board members. So the city requires all city slip holders to come into the office every year and show us that they've made a effort to proceed with commercial fishing. The requirements are to keep the slip agreement. The requirements are a minimum of $5,000 in California fishing game landings tickets or $1,000 per net ton, and there's some additional ways to qualify, such as proving fishing effort and things like that. Each slip holder is allowed 2 exemptions from requirements to qualify every 10 years. This year, as we discussed at the last meeting, last year also, there was a salmon disaster. There was no commercial fishing of salmon this year. We've received a number of requests from people that there be blanket exemptions or some kind of consideration given to the qualifications. And I think at your last meeting we discussed the potential of just accepting salmon disaster assistance money. What I'd like to recommend to you tonight is that we consider simple proof of a California salmon permit for 2008 as fishing effort qualifying for that year, and so that those folks who have a valid 2008 commercial salmon permit could then qualify and not have to use an exemption. If you don't have that, you would then have to meet the qualification regulations just as normal, the proof of fishing effort.
I guess now we'll open this to anyone in the audience that wants to speak to this issue. If you are interested, please come forward. And okay.
My name is Tom St. John. Been around for a while. Started fishing when I had a lot of hair and there weren't very many regulations. And I haven't ever had a problem making $5,000. And I'm not looking for a bailout. And I really like the break commercial fishermen get with the town here. So, and there's a lot of good breaks happening, you know, even though there are things you don't really want to have to do. Like, I'm trying to get my life raft a new one because my old one's not certifiable. And I was talking to Chris Kubiak today about the same problem. And he said that they actually go by 07, 08. So I could submit 07 fish tickets to qualify. And I didn't know that till today. So I think everybody must have a little different cutoff time for qualification. So if that gets all streamlined, that could help too, to keep things simple. But anyhow, that's my point. And thanks very much. I think you guys do good.
Thank you.
I don't know if everybody...
So did your 2008 license expire in the middle of 2008?
No, it expires April 2009.
I'm not sure when. I think it's April or May or something like that. But I didn't know that till today, and I was asking him if there was any other way, and he didn't. He said if you had tickets for 07, they counted. And that's what he told me this morning.
Excuse me, let me ask you a question. Was that for the safety grant?
It was for the safety.
Well, yeah. Grant. Well, that's apples and oranges. This is different.
Well, that's what I'm pointing out.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out the different ways people are using the cutoff dates, and if they could all be uniform, it's like paying taxes. It's hard to keep up with.
Okay, thank you.
Joe wants to.
Okay. Yes.
My name is Joe Nungary, and probably to clarify your question, in March 31st, we have to apply. By March 31st, you have to apply for your salmon permit, and it goes from the 31st to the 30th of the next year. So a salmon license would show 2007-2008.
And 2009,
and then the next one would show 2008-2009 and so on.
The season they cut off was 2008, is that it?
Pardon me?
The
season they cut off was 2008.
Right, okay.
So, if that helps you understand.
Yeah, it does.
So there was some salmon catch in 2007?
Yeah, there was.
Yes.
That's not the year we're talking about.
Well, if it
overlaps March 2007 to 2008.
Yeah, this year's 2008, the year they closed down. It goes from 2008 to March 2009.
Oh, okay.
That's how it stayed.
Okay.
If that
Thank
helps.
You. Yeah.
Thank
you. Any other comments? Any comments from the board?
Any questions?
Sure.
I guess I was going to ask Richard, is there a chance that salmon fishermen might not have bought a stamp or a permit due to the disaster?
Me?
Yeah. Or Eddie, whoever would know.
To keep the license current, I believe they have to renew it every year. Otherwise, it would lapse. Now, I'm not sure, but I believe that's...
I believe it's the case. They have to renew it every year. Otherwise, it would lapse, and then they'd have problems getting it back. The fishing game's kind of sticky on that. So anybody that has a salmon permit and wanted to keep it valid has to renew it every year, I believe. Joe, you have something to say?
Yes, also
You have to come up to the mic. Maybe just hang out there for a minute.
Also, the disaster was not declared till after that March 31st. So you had to buy your permit, and then the disaster was declared after that, and all fishing was stopped. The fishing season was normally opens May 1st. So that's why you have the gap between the 31st of March and May 1st.
Okay.
And that is in that time period when the disaster was declared. And no fishing was allowed.
And in your experience, the people that fish salmon keep their permits from year after year, are they difficult to get or expensive? Or
they're a limited entry permit. If you don't renew it on time, there is a penalty for renewing it late. But if you don't renew it at all, you lose it.
You lose it. And
you won't get it.
Are they expensive to get if you do get one, or are they like deer tags that are just issued out so many a year?
No, they're expensive.
They're expensive.
They're expensive. And once you lose it, does that permit, is that in some way sold to somebody else? Or?
You can obtain another permit by buying a permit from an individual who has a current permit.
Uh-huh.
But that puts you in limbo for 18 months. So there'll be a year that you pay for it and another year before you can even use it.
Okay. So
once those permits go back, that's it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Anyone else?
Anyone else have a question? Thanks. The issue seems quite clear to me from the standpoint of you know, a waiver for slip qualification, as I read at least the city's resolution regarding that, allows for two waivers within a 10-year period season. That's what I would recommend.
I'd recommend something different. I'd recommend that they show their salmon permit for 2008.
Well,
not a fishing license. But I talked to some fishermen, and the simplest way to do this is have them go down to the Harbor Department, and if they have a valid salmon permit for 2008, that qualifies them.
That's what
everything said and done. Simple, cut and dry. And that's what probably what you meant.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what the staff is recommending. That's what I meant. Any other comments? Yeah. do you have any comments? Yes, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Rather than a blanket waiver, you want to use the fishing permit. Does that really make any difference to staff if it's a blanket waiver for all?
Yes, could you, you know, they keep yelling, can you either leave your mics on or not? Apparently it says your mic's on.
Mine's on.
Okay.
It doesn't work like that.
Okay. Sorry. So I think it's about the same. Does a blanket waiver would mean, you know, it's pretty easy. We'd have to go to council to get that. I think that we're looking at this as reading into the regulations that we can consider. Because this year was a salmon disaster where there was no fishing was allowed by the federal government, this year and this year only, we would accept as a valid 2008 salmon permit at the same time they qualify. So, you know,
Then it doesn't really make any difference if you do a blanket waiver or if you take their fishing permit as...
Yes, it does.
Well, so she's asking maybe on work level in our office. Not much, are you? But you may,
well, the difference is a blanket waiver for everybody means... A blanket waiver for everybody would mean that they wouldn't have to qualify at all. And the only persons that were affected were the salmon fishermen.
No, that's not what I said. I said a blanket waiver for salmon fisheries.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a difference to them, to the staff, difference. No.
Any other comments or questions? Then I would like to see a motion. Anyone want to make a motion?
I move that we accept the staff's recommendation that they show a valid 2008 salmon permit for qualifications for slips.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
It's moved by Ed, seconded by Gene, that we accept staff's recommendations regarding qualifications for salmon fishing as proof of effort. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Yeah. The next item on the on our agenda is News Rack Ordinance Informational Update. Harbor Director Mr. Algert.
I have a feeling we're going to get on a roll here and start moving quickly because the update is that there isn't any movement out of the city attorney's office in drafting up an ordinance yet. It's on the list of things to do, and it's they're just, you know, with the way workload goes up there, he's having a hard time seeing exactly when he's going to get to it. I guess I would note, though, since we discussed this and asked the city council to refer to the city attorney, which they did, it is on a tracking sheet. The boardwalk project got constructed, which required us to relocate the newspaper racks that were next to the South T Pier over to the east side of Embarcadero. And it really is a much nicer setup. I think that's a demonstration of part of what we could do with a news rack ordinance. The other part, you know, in that area, then, of course, the next step would be to purchase or install some kind of consistent-looking boxes that would be a little more pleasing than just the rattle of boxes that are all there. But at least they're out of the view corridor now. So, and of course, we still have another group, three or four groups down the rest of the Embarcadero that we could approach if we had some additional regulations.
Any comments on this issue from anybody on the board? Anybody from the audience? I do want to make just a comment. It is a little frustrating to me. I spent some time doing the footwork for this about a year and a half ago, and it seems that this project would be, of all of the kinds of projects that we've had to consider, it would be one that would be fairly easy to accomplish and fairly inexpensive, and it would bring a benefit to the Embarcadero, particularly the west side of the Embarcadero, that would be appreciated for all, and in particular those who are tourists to our community. And you know, I'm not the city attorney, and I'm not pointing fingers at him, but just from my own research, it seems like there were...
Commerce office, parade will start, I think, 6:30, scheduled to start. You'll start seeing the boats will be forming up in lines sometime after dark. At some point during this, we need to give a report on the liveaboard subcommittee. You want to do that now, or...
Why don't you go ahead, Len? Turn your microphone on too, if it isn't.
The liveaboard subcommittee has met three times. We've had very lively discussions. A lot of the discussion has centered around enforcement of the current liveaboard ordinance and the requirements for sanitation facilities on the boats, as well as mobility of the boats, in the fact that they have to bring it to some other place designated by the Harbor Patrol for inspection. They have started to initiate a liveaboard association, and here's the poster that's set up around town in various places along the waterfront. That a first meeting of the Morro Bay Liveaboard Association is scheduled to meet on December 10th at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the power plant. One of our members has gotten the power plant to give us a meeting room. The meeting is open to all liveaboards and boaters interested in the liveaboard lifestyle. The purpose of the organization is as follows: to promote an environmental awareness among Morro Bay liveaboards, to cooperate with other organizations, both local and national, for the betterment of the water and shoreline of Morro Bay and the state of California, to work with liveaboards and other boaters to develop an improved community image. Come join in. If your home is on the bay, make sure you have a voice in your future. And this, of course, is spoken to people, not only liveaboards, but those who might consider being a liveaboard at some time. And this is obviously to get to do two things. One, to get community input to make people aware of the problems with the liveaboard ordinance, if there are any, and to gain their cooperation on enforcement and getting people to get their liveaboard permits. Currently, of the 50 allowed permits, there are only about 16 that actually have been complete. Well, 13 plus three in process.
The number went up recently, compared to 2 months ago.
You know, they were giving us round numbers. Eric has been giving us more exact numbers. I'm not sure if... Well, actually, that's true, because a couple people have completed the process. And some people have, in the past, had a liveaboard permit. They may have their permit in. They may have their money paid, but they haven't done the inspection, or someplace in there.
Today or yesterday went out about 30 letters to those folks who had at one time or another had a permit or one that was currently in process.
notifying them that they had 60 days to get it up to date. So I imagine that may get a few more people to your meeting, too. That'll probably raise the discussion level again. But this is all good. Hopefully we get people voluntarily into the program.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that the Harbor has done, Harbor Department has done, they sent a letter to leaseholders, to marinas, asking the leaseholder to submit names to the Harbor Department if they have liveaboards in their marina. So this should also help in encouraging those who are in marinas to get their permit, since the leaseholder has now been, to a certain extent, made responsible or been brought into the process, I should say.
Would that include privately owned mooring holders also that that might rent out to someone else? A letter, I mean.
So if it was a reference to the letters we sent to the leaseholders, possibly not. If it was renters, was that what you were...
Is the lease, is somebody that no. leases a mooring from the city or that part of it, is that...
We think of that more as a berthing agreement, so and it's a 30-day berthing agreement. So the letter that Lynn was referring to is one that we sent to our waterfront leaseholders.
Oh, okay.
The lease contracts.
Bill, you had a question?
Just an added comment is that we have our next liveaboard meeting at the Senior Citizen Center. Is that what it's called?
No, the library.
I'm sorry.
Community room. The library,
community room.
City, county.
On
library.
December 15th.
Yes.
Yes.
At 5 p.m. is our next meeting for liveaboards, if anyone is interested in attending that.
Maybe we should make it a little bit clearer. There is the subcommittee of the
microphone
board, and then there is the other meeting, which is the Liveaboard Association, which has really
Center Center at the community center,
the Morro Bay Community Library community room. So at the library.
That's at the library.
Yeah, and that is a bit of a room change. There's no surprise we're. We couldn't get the regular room, so that anybody out there, the room is the library, city county library, the community room right next to the city county library.
Okay, so it'll be in the library room. Thank you. Any other questions related to the liveaboard status report? Okay, back to you, Rick.
All right, thanks. Mr. LeFay and I went to the business forum, Morro Bay Business Forum today, this morning to let them know that the Harbor Advisory Board has also set up an ad hoc committee to solicit stakeholder input on potential changes to Measure D, the CF District Zone, and we notified them that the Harbor Advisory Board plans to have a public hearing in February 2009 on that, and requested some written. Anybody who would provide input was welcome, but it would be great if it was written, and I think you've already gotten at least one. So it did work to some extent, hopefully. And we obviously we need to keep that on the February agenda. ASWAPR training, Harbor Patrol staff participated in 8 hours training put on by the California Department of Fish and Game Oil Spill Prevention Response on November 20th, 2008. The training covered boom deployment, oil spill response, and now we're all, again, certified at the the emergency response level for ASWAPR. We put up some additional wildlife signage. You all may remember that you had a presentation from the Wildlife Rescue Group. Mm-hmm. The signs were basically provided free by various groups. So,
hey, Rick?
Yes.
Did they put one up? They put some down at the fish markets?
There were seagulls.
Like next to Giovanni's and places where they're always feeding the seals and seagulls?
Yeah, I think they put up 5 don't feed the wildlife signs, and I don't know exactly where. I know a couple went in the rock area.
And they should be next to the fish markets, both of them, too. All right.
Okay, derelict vessels. We received that $30,000 grant from DBW. We're trying to issue, hopefully get out here within the next week, a request for proposals for 5 or 6 boats, demolition of 5 or 6 of the boats that we've collected up. And the owner, rest of C2 due for a lien sale, and that's next Tuesday or Wednesday, December 9th, whatever day that is, December 9th. And if it's not redeemed within 10 days of the lien sale date, then the boat becomes the city's
and we will work with the Ships to Reef folks to clean it up and see if it could possibly be used as their experimental or their research vessel on their site. They would like to sink a potential reef in the future. The modular office project moves ahead. I hope on Monday the council will be looking at a recommendation to appropriate additional $230,000 to complete the project. If the council approves that, we hope to put this project out to bid within 30 days of the council approval, and may very well be moving into the area that we'll also be using the visitor center at the power plant. They've agreed to let us use that as our customer service area during the period of construction. And we'll probably have to put some additional facilities. We're still moving, trying to figure out exactly where, but that will be the location that we would have customers come to and base the Harbor Patrol duty desk across the street. Just an announcement that the January 2009 Harbor Advisory Board meeting is canceled. I think it's January 1st. Is there a question, Bill?
I got a question.
How long will it take to complete the modular office, approximately, so you can get back in?
Yeah, 3 to 5 months. It's how, depending on how things go once project starts, but you know, it could be quite quick. There.
Yeah, Ed.
We're going to go back to that fisheries ITQ update, and it says an oral report will be given. Nobody's here to give an oral report.
Right. Obviously, it's. I skipped that over. It's probably Freudian. Yeah, how much you want to hear about that? I've included quite a bit of material here.
I would just like, I guess, just maybe a summary real quick.
Okay. Well, the council adopted a position statement on ITQs for groundfish in a meeting in October. That we took that statement and resolution down to the PFMC meetings. Actually read the resolution into the record. It was 2.5 days of oral testimony at the PFMC on ITQs, individual transferable quotas, for those who are not familiar with it. They actually made a few crucial decisions, late Friday evening. They did decide to proceed with an individual transferable quota program for groundfish. Another was more than five reasons, and that basically did not get sufficient votes.
Big boys got their way. Okay.
Any other questions on the on that issue? Not being a commercial fisherman, that one sounds complicated to me, but I'll wait for further reports.
Oh yeah. Can I make one more announcement before
sure.
you go
mm-hmm.
ahead? We provided you this list of board seat and appointment dates. I note that three of you are up at the end of January of next year. I hope you all reapply. You'll receive those with terms who are up will receive a letter here within the next couple weeks with an application and a notification of the process. I can't tell you the date right now because the council is going to set them next Monday night for when they're going to try and hold interviews and when your applications will be due, but you will be notified in the mail. Also, there is a vacant leaseholder seat, and it's a great time for people to be interested. Be a good one to apply. You know, people should apply for. It would be nice to fill out our board at this time.
Mm-hmm. Is this a question? It says 13109.
Into July, or June, January.
Into January. So that's the month from now.
End of January.
I'll get somebody else to do it.
just like to encourage that same thing. I thought when I first saw this, it meant we were being put out to pasture and done, but maybe that's not the case. But there is a vacant seat, even if the three positions that are up do reapply, there still is a vacant seat, and it would be nice to have someone come forward for that so that we have a full board for 2009. Future agenda items? Bill, sorry.
I think one comment for the public and also for the board here is, if I'm not mistaken, January 5th, the Planning Commission will be holding a hearing on the EIR on the dredging of the Back Bay. It probably would be a good time to, if anyone's interested in listening to that ERA, that thick document. But and I think Rick had some more positive comments about the aspect of us getting a waiver to do offshore dumping as opposed to going to Cambria. Is that correct, Rick?
So we're talking about the State Park Marina EIR, and I think that's pretty close to what we talked about the last time. I may have been a little more cheerful that day when I talked to you. Maybe it seemed, but the project is we can't get the cost estimates down significantly unless we can use the nearshore disposal site instead of the upland and all the trucking and environmental horrors and costs there. So we think that we're making good progress on getting in the nearshore site. We need to certify the EIR, then rescope the project, and then actually apply for permits. So as usual, we're still some ways away, but keep turning over rocks trying to make it happen.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Any other comments? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make the motion to adjourn.
Moved. Any second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor? We're adjourned.
You guys want to look at
these are my mom.
I had a relative and two relatives and a friend come over and out with Virgil on Sunday. And they came back with limits, but those fillets were about that big.